ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Hare Krishna Prabhupada Sindhu Dhinavandhu Jaya
गोपेश गोपिकाकान्तनादाकान्तनमोऽस्तुते तप्तकाञ्चन गौरङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी शबानोऽस्तुते नमामि वृक्षे वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्ये च कृपासिन्धुभ्येभ्यो च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्णा चैतन्या प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीअद्वैताधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्दा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। One who is intentionally engaged in the works and service of the Lord surpasses material qualities and attains Brahman realization. This is from Bhagavad Gita 14:26. Prabhupada brings about significance of the knowledge of the soul and the super soul, and how by knowing oneself and Paramatma and the connection between the Bhakta and the Bhagavan through the process of Bhakti, one can come out of the clutches of the material modes of nature. From verse 3 onwards, Lord Vishnu is starting to give advice to Maharaj Ritu. So the theme of the verse starting from 3 until the 12 is knowledge of Paramatma. Then how it is different from the individual soul, as is described in detail in last verse. How the Paramatma is pure, non-material, self-effulgent, as it is described in one side of Paramatma being contrast with our own self. Right? How the jivas are many, whereas the supreme intention is one. We are stuck in this material world and we are not effulgent, and we don't have whatever of good qualities which the Lord has, and we are under a material covering whereas the Lord is not. So this knowledge of the soul and the super soul, and then understanding the process of Bhakti Yoga, well, this jnana is actually leading a person to practice bhakti more rigorously. This knowledge is leading one to take up bhakti and practice it based on his own occupational duties. This is termed as bhakti mishra jnana, where predominance is bhakti. Then there is an aspect of jnana as well, coming in terms of who you are, as Prabhu was explaining yesterday, Shyamadasa Prabhu, about the Sambandha Jnana, like knowing who you are, and then what is your connection with the Lord, what is your connection with this material world. So once one gets to know this, he starts to practice bhakti in a more determined way, so that he knows how to deal with this material world, which is also the Lord's creation. And he knows that the controller of both him and the material nature is the Lord. So both are coming from the Lord, both belong to the Lord. So we need to engage the Lord's property in his service. By doing so, and by understanding how the material nature works, especially the 14th chapter from the Prabhupada is quoting this verse, is about the modes of material nature. Even though in the middle 6 chapters Bhagavad Gita, bhakti process is described, the next 6 chapters describe about how this material world works, because that's the place from which we are executing our devotional service. We need to know the field of activity. so that we can, how do we say, maneuver ourselves safely in this material world towards the destination of reaching the abode of the Supreme Lord, not to get overwhelmed by the challenges that we face, especially from the modes of material nature. Prabhupada uses this word unflinchingly engaged. So when I was looking at the word, meaning for the word flinch, flinch is like a jerk reaction to anything that provokes you, you kind of give up a knee-jerk reaction or sudden reaction to any stimulus. So, because the chapter 14 deals with material nature, Krishna explains different ways in which you could be provoked or you could be clinched. Then how do we do this unclinching devotional service? Is despite all those disturbances from the outside environment, if one is internally determined and he is able to proceed further under the guidance of the spiritual master, because that is also brought out in the 14th chapter, where if a person, even though he does not have much knowledge, if he simply sticks to following the orders of the spiritual master, gradually the process of bhakti will give him the knowledge and the detachment, janadiya sivairagyam jnana. So you get knowledge and detachment gradually as you progress by following the instructions of the spiritual master, and by that you get all of the modes of material nature. So while we are in this path of bhakti, practicing and aiming towards achieving love of God and attaining and going back to Godhead, we are still under the influence of the coverings as described in this verse, in the previous verses, that a person should be able to differentiate and see that he is different from the body and as well as from the mind, intelligence and ego. One may wonder why the theme of knowledge of soul is being repeated so many times, even in Bhagavatam, and then earlier cantos is okay, but then even up to 10th canto we see that the concept and the principles of soul are being brought out. Even a person who is atrocious like Kamsa, he is also has the knowledge of soul, and he is consoling Devaki and Vasudev after the 8th child came out, and then Adadurga gave him darshan and then warned him. Then he starts to apologize, and he also quotes Shastra. He comes back to his senses, and then he, even from a demoniac person, there is some divine quality, divine nature that is coming up. But you can see, as soon as he will beg apologies, and then he will take forgiveness, and then he will go to his court, and then he will meet with his friends, again he will get contaminated. His friends will again, no, don't take this very lightly. So we can see that how from the example of Kamsa, like he's coming out of the mode of material nature, but again he's being pulled back into nascent by his bad association. So in order to come out of the modes of material nature, we need to know the mechanics of how the body functions and how the mind functions. Recently I've been reading a book by one of Prabhupada disciples, Sukhava Mataji. where she brings about the points which she has gathered through years of her experience in guiding other devotees and also reading out her books. Devotees in the process of achieving love of God, they may be sometimes put into difficulties not knowing how to manage their own mind and body. So in her explanation, she begins by urging us to understand that the need for the soul and the need for the body and mind, they are different. One has to understand the needs of both. So she quotes from Prabhupada's purpose from the first canto, second chapter, where Prabhupada explains as to how the properties of pure devotional service were, the chapter is named as Divinity and Divine Service. So in that chapter, Dharma Swanishtita Pumsam verse, in that verse purport, Prabhupada brings about that the inherent need of the soul cannot be ignored. And then the needs of the body and the mind also cannot be ignored. Although the prominence has to be given for the need of the soul. Then he gives the example of a bird which is in a cage. We all know this example. If we take care of the needs of the cage and ignore the needs of the bird which is inside the cage, then the bird is going to die. So, the need of the bird which is stuck in the cage is freedom, freedom of expression, going out and being free. So, Prabhupada brings, similarly, we are stuck in this body. We actually want freedom and we need to return to our actual original position where there are no bodily restrictions or restrictions put by the mind and other similar coverings and you are free. But while you are in the process of getting free, you should know the properties of the soul, which is Satchitananda, and how each aspect of Satchitananda is being covered, and how it gets reflected when we are trying to satisfy the needs of the soul in a perverted way in this material world, and how it leads to further entanglement. So if we ignore the needs of the soul, we are going to try to satisfy the needs of the soul in a perverted way. So Mataji begins by explaining the premise that every living being is looking for a loving relationship. That is the core, one of the core needs of the soul, is that each person is looking for a loving relationship. And that need can be completely fulfilled only when the spirit soul dovetails his loving propensity to the Supreme Lord. So he, in a perverted way, he tries to have loving exchanges with family members, and then Prabhupada explains that to extend that loving relationship with the entire community, country, still a person won't be completely satisfied. A person will be fully satisfied when he channels his love towards the Supreme Lord. So with that inherent need for loving relationship, and that is not fulfilled in the material world, then we try to fulfill that in different ways and we are getting frustrated. So our need for loving relationship is not completely satisfied in this world. Now, secondly, she moves on to explain about each quality of the soul, which is Sat, eternality, Chit, which is knowledge, and Ananda, which is bliss. Now, the inherent nature of the soul is to be in a position where you are able to live forever, where there is permanency, where there is security, where there are not much restrictions. But if you see in the contrast, the material world, even now, the summer season is there. Before we get used to summer season, the next season will come. Before you get used to that season, so there is a constant change, but inherently what the soul needs is a stable, secure place. That is the external. Inside also, the body also constantly keeps changing. So, although we celebrate birthdays and we, when we are young, later on as we grow older, each day, each year passes, we are getting close. It is kind of bewildering for those who don't have the knowledge of soul. So the soul needs permanency, security, stability, but the body, material body and the material world does not provide. So because of that, the soul is getting frustrated. And due to this frustration, a set of anarthas are being brought out. First one is, where can I go and take shelter? Because in a such an unstable situation. So the fear comes, who will protect me? Who will take care? That's fear. Then when you observe people around you, and when they are in a much more stable position or secure position, then you start to wonder why they are having and why I am not having that. So then that leads, the contemplation of that leads to envy. I was reading this, I was able to relate to how Indra was feeling that lack of security. Because if somebody does 100 Ashwamedha yajnas, my position will be gone. I will lose what I am having. So I am somehow or other stop the yajna. So he is feeling the threat for his own position as the post of Indra. He wants to stick to it, he will hold on to it, and when that is being challenged, so he fear, and then out of envy he also tries to stop. Why should he take up my position? Then the next anartha which will come up due to this need of security not being met is you want to grab or you want to take something of the same security or enjoyment from others, like you want to take it out of them, and you are excessively desiring, this is giving rise to a lot of desires for you to fulfill, getting in the mode of passion and lust. And then if you are completely frustrated, we start to develop self-pity. Oh, and always like this, oh poor me, I'm helpless. So that self-pity, lamentation starts to kick in with this need for stable place and the security is not met. So we may try to run away from the situation. We may want to change our place from, okay, let me go to a different place and try it. So what is not changing is our mentality. We can change our place, the external, but if we have the same mentality wherever we go, we will end up facing the same set of problems. So this victim mentality, in fact, even goes to the point of demanding Krishna to help us. Krishna should help us in a way that I like, because I am a victim, so I need some justice, I need some help, and Krishna must help in a way that I like, the way that I demand. Rather than trying to understand what should I do to correct myself, we expect Krishna to do the needful for us. Because he claims himself to be Bhakta Vatsala, he claims himself to be provider for everybody. Then why is he not providing? Why is he not giving? Why is he not protecting me? without understanding that we also have a role to play, there has to be some change inside us. Instead of trying to change ourselves, we may try to think, oh, Krishna is not caring for me. And then we start to label ourselves like, I am very degraded person, I am demoniac. So what's happening is, your anattas are getting reinforced and you are starting to identify yourself with those anattas, and you are thinking that is my identity. So if we are able to look at what we are lacking and what this particular need of security is, how do we actually get it fulfilled, then we can overcome those anattas or fear, envy, then lust and lamentation. So in case of Indra, lot of times, like, Indra has done mistakes, and we are reading it in Bhagavatam. So and I used to think about this, so Indra had his turn, I will have my turn one day, that I will commit mistakes and I will be embarrassed and I will have to still learn my lessons. So if Indra had approached a spiritual teacher like Vrihaspati or even Narada Muni, because he can travel at his will, he has got a lot of mystic power, and he could have approached some spiritual authority and revealed his heart. Okay, I'm getting anxious because Sri Maharaj is doing so many Ashwamedhi yajnas, and he honestly expressed his what's going on inside. I'm sure he would have got the correct guidance in saying, okay, Sri Maharaj is doing not to get occupy your position. His motivation for doing it is to please the Lord and also please the public, how to conduct themselves. So then that clarity would have prevented him from taking adverse steps like dressing as a sannyasi and stealing the house. So the lesson that we can learn is, so when the anattas like this come up, so we need to go back and check what need is not being met, and when the situation is overwhelming, we need to take guidance from spiritual masters, Diksha Guru or Siksha Gurus. So open up and express, and then they will be able to guide us. So when you are getting such guidance, it won't be so pleasant. It's if somebody throws a cup of cold water on your face, it will be a bit shocking. But it is done to wake us up. So the words that are being used or the way it's being told, it may not be pleasant always. Although in this particular scenario, Lord Vishnu is being very kind and he is mildly chastising Krithi Maharaj also. How can a person who has got so much of exalted qualities like you behave in this way? And mind you that this is done in a public place. It's not done private. Then I could see that parallel in Bhagavad Gita, where it's a one-to-one conversation, when Arjuna surrendered to Krishna, he got heavily chastised straight away. You're talking like a learned person, although you're not. How have these impurities come upon you? This is not trustworthy. So in that, although it is done in a battlefield, still it is between Krishna and Arjuna, so there the chastisement was heavy, and then again there also you see the teachings begin with the knowledge of soul. So here again, Lord Vishnu, he is teaching to two persons, one is to Indra and also to Ritu. But then he is trying to teach Ritu, and who is also present there is Indra. He is also listening and he is also understanding. So So this is how I understood Krishna is Bhaktavatsala. He is protecting his devotees. But the protection and the help which Krishna gives will be in the way that we like. So the pain and other aspects that we experience are some kind of signals that is indicating that something is wrong underneath. So we need to address what is it that I am lacking, or what need is not being met. The spirit soul has got some needs. Instead of expecting Krishna to do all the work and not willing to change ourselves, our mentality and attitude, we won't get anywhere, and we will reinforce this anatta that you think that's what is me. So the way out of this instability or lack of security is to situate ourselves under the guidance of the spiritual master and follow his instructions and take shelter of the Lord. Gradually the Lord will reveal to us how he is still providing and taking care, and we can take courage from the case of Indra, how despite sleeping and falling many times, the Lord is with him and is correcting him. So in our spiritual journey also, even if we sleep and fall, the Lord will help us through the spiritual master and through his another representative. That kind of gives us a hope as to how in an unstable environment like this material world, when we are practicing bhakti, trip and fall, then we still get up and then continue from where we left. So the second aspect of the need of the soul is that of knowledge, the chit potency. Now, because of continuous suffering in this world, the suffering actually starts to trigger the inherent urge to seek knowledge. Mataji gives an example as to how if we don't look into this need, it's just like you take the fire alarm so that you fit fire alarm so that when the smoke comes, it raises the siren. So, but if you remove those fire alarms, thinking that I fixed the problem because there is no noise from the fire alarms anymore, so that's not the way of fixing problems. Recently, in the theater, Anil found that the fire alarms were missing, so straight away he pointed out. I just came to my mind. That's not how you get out of fire, because if it's not that, it's still more dangerous. And an accident, fire comes, we'll be making more noise and we'll be facing more calamity. We just want to, if you can't bear the sound of the fire alarm, so we need to fix the route where the. So, if we ignore the pain and suffering we're going through without seeking knowledge, that means we are taking the fire alarms out. So the pain actually will stimulate the chit potency, as she writes, because you seek knowledge, and knowledge is what is going to take away ignorance. So that's why the inherent need for the soul is to have knowledge, and when that is being prevented by the coverings of the mind and the body, the soul actually suffers. So by acquiring knowledge, the soul, what it's trying to again move towards is towards freedom. And when you're free, you can have loving exchanges with the Lord also. That's why in the Bhagavad Gita verse, Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate, in that purport of that verse, like Prabhupada explains, one cannot serve the Lord unless he is also pure. He gives the example of how if you want to serve the king, you you need to have some qualification. So if you want to serve the Lord, you also have to raise to the Brahma Buddha platform. So the urge for the soul to acquire knowledge is to come out of illusion and to freely serve the Lord. Where this freedom or autonomy to express oneself, if that need is not addressed, that gives rise to another set of answers. So if we always try to, being restricted, we are not able to express ourselves due to lack of knowledge, and we are not addressing the need for autonomy or our inherent nature for free will, if that is being restricted, then we come under the control of another set of anarthas, which is, first, if that freedom is restricted, first thing comes up is anger. So the typical reactions to it is, no one listens to me. Why should I always surrender? Why not him? This is not fair. Why can't I do things in my own way, at least sometimes? So, then if another anatta that will come up is pride, that I will show either my way or the highway. I will prove. So, devotional service is, if it is done in an unmotivated way, the interactions we have with other devotees should prove to Krishna that we are getting qualified to come near him and approach him. But in a perverted way, sometimes devotional service is, we deal with Krishna, we do devotional service so that others can notice us, others can praise us. So that is where, like, you are trying to do devotional service with the motive to achieve something, to gain some position or power, that then others will notice you. So the focus is shifted from Krishna being the center, from me being the center. So I will do service to Krishna so that others will notice me. So then, show the abilities, skills, all that, then the aspect of pride and arrogance comes. So the third anatta that comes up is your need for autonomy is not meant to be greed or lobha, where you start to demand things, and you will, no matter how, whatever way or means possible, I will grab it. So you may even end up doing, through unethical means, you may try to get something. Where you're demanding, so this is basically, you're trying to express yourself, your free will and autonomy, but in a perverted way, it gets reflected, and this set of anger, pride, and greed comes up. So she quotes Prabhupada's letter to, I think it's letter to Karmadava. Prabhupada thinks about an interesting point about how preaching should happen. Everyone has got some way he can contribute himself for serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now conduct your preaching in such a way that when anyone becomes attracted to get something from us, he may be allured into serving Krishna in his own way that he likes to do. Not being forced to do something else he may not like to do. That will discourage him and no intelligent man will come. The Prabhupada here is giving guidance as to how we have to create an attractive atmosphere where as we are getting outsiders from preaching, and after we've got them, how to create an environment that is going to be more conducive for them to carry on, that they feel that their natural abilities are being used, and they are, we should do it in such a way that they are allured into serving Krishna in his own way, rather than being forced to do something else he may not like. That will discourage, and the end result, no intelligent men will come. This is, yeah, this letter to Karandara, Bombay, 22nd of December 1972. So, this is more to do with finding our own way, where we feel we are using our fullest abilities and serving Krishna. This should not lead us to the point where we are using our abilities just to get name, fame or glory, and the service part is kind of ignored. So the prime focus here for us is to serve Krishna, and for that use your natural skills and abilities. And in that way you will feel that you are contributing, and you are feeling that your need for expression, autonomy, is being fulfilled. So we have seen so far sat and chit, eternality, the need for security, and chit, which is need for expression of free will, autonomy. So the third is the ananda aspect of the law, the soul. As we discussed earlier, the ananda can be experienced by redirecting your love towards the Lord. So this need can be fulfilled only by the concept of service. So even outsiders, materialists, they are now turning towards concepts like developing service mentality, like servant leadership and things like that, where to create an environment which is more stable for their employees and loving and caring, the leader is also willing to create an environment where he is also not only demanding but also serving. So that's why the concept of servant leadership now is being brought up, where when you do that service to others, to humanity, you will experience a kind of happiness which is way beyond the other happiness that you experience. That's why even some corporates, they ask their employees to go and volunteer for some companies for a few days. So I've seen employees coming out, standing in the streets, and the big companies, they volunteer for Red Cross or something like that. They stop people and ask to enroll for their for Red Cross or things like that. People from other big corporates, they're asked to take some time out and do some community work, which is serving the humanity. That we get a sense of ananda, bliss. When that service mentality is redirected towards the Lord, that will actually fulfill the need of ananda or bliss for the soul. When that is restricted, especially when that service, Mataji explained as in creating a loving relationship, when a service is rendered, when that gets appreciated and then that service is valued, then the person who is rendering the service also appreciates that loving exchange. So he understands and he feels that he is being valued, and his abilities are being used, and the Lord is happy. So when devotees express the appreciation for each other's service, that is also enhancing the loving relationship. And when devotional service is done in the devotee association together with such loving exchanges for fulfilling the Lord, then that gives the soul the happiness which it is seeking. So your need for ananda is fulfilled by service, and that service is done in the association of devotees with loving exchanges and relationships, then that completely fulfills the need of expression of love or seeking ananda. So if that is restricted, then the exact opposite of that is not doing service and being ignorant of one's own constitutional position, and then you start to reinforce a lot of anarthas where you lose yourself's attitude, where that is very dangerous, where the attitude itself is getting affected, and that will lead to further not being willing to serve and depression also. The second consequence of the need not being met is you get into a sense of a denial where you want to, you're feeling some emptiness and you're continuously denying it, and you'll be in a sense of illusion or moha. And the third thing that might come up is lethargy. Why even bother trying? I quit. And it will eventually, it may lead to impersonalist mentality where you start thinking, oh, I've tried many relationships, nothing works. So I better go to a place where there's not much of a disturbance and I'll be calm and quiet. It doesn't matter. Whatever I do, it's not going to work. Nobody matters. Nothing matters. And Mahaji explained that is why that frustration, people go to Brahmajyoti where for some time they'll, okay, I was peace and quiet, nobody is there around me to bother me. So I'll be peaceful. But that is due to this need for service, doing service in the association of devotees, having those loving exchanges, appreciation for each other, and creating that stable environment where a person feels secure and he is given enough opportunities to express himself. If all of that is lacking, the extreme step is all this, where you enter into ignorance, state of ignorance, you get into illusion, and you become lethargic, and finally you get into impersonalism where, no, this process doesn't work, so I better go to a place where there are no people. So the remedy for that is to make sure that the environment is secure. Then the need for free expression to serve the Lord in a way that you would like to, that is being met. And the environment where there is loving exchange between devotees and the association of devotees through devotional service. So all these three needs are being met. By doing devotional service, the needs are also being met. We are not ignoring the needs of the soul. At the same time, we have to engage in occupational activities which are there to maintain the body. So, the way it's, the whole thing fits in together is you understand the needs of the soul, then you understand the needs of the body, and then if the needs are not met, the mind will behave in a certain way. It will show some signs like pain or other. So don't ignore those signs and make sure you find out what is the underlying cause of it and fix so that the path of devotional service is not hampered. So your journey is not hampered and it does not flinch. So you can do unflinching devotional service. In this way, by understanding your divine nature, which is the need of the soul, and understanding how the coverings work, the coverings of the mind and the body, and how the Lord as such, as Paramatma, is willing to help you every step to take you back. So that's how the Bhagavan is willing to help. The Bhakta has to also do the part and engage in process of bhakti. I'll conclude by one statement. Krishna explained why he did not intervene when the gambling match was going on. He explains that Yudhishthira Maharaj was in fact internally praying that Krishna should not come because I am gambling, he should not see me. So he wanted to intervene, but internally Yudhishthira Maharaj was thinking that way, until this gambling is over, Krishna should not come. So then Uddhava will ask further question like, still does not make, you should have intervened. I am always ready to help others standing by the side and want to help them, but I don't want to enter into their zone of freedom because I don't want to get on their way, and I don't know, I want to give freedom to them. So I stand next to them and I watch. So like Paramatma being described, like Upadrishta Hanumantasa. So still we should have intervened. Like Krishna, if only people are aware of the fact that I'm standing next to him and watching them, if only they are aware, then they won't get into trouble. So because we forget all that, then we get into trouble. So I myself am struggling in my spiritual journey, learning through lessons. So not quite like to speak on this. Just trying to share what we've done. Hopefully we can be sent to Hare Krishna. Are there any comments, questions? Bhagavatam ki jai, Prabhupada ki jai.